It is time for us now to turn our attention to health matters, and around 7.5 million people in South Africa are living with HIV. In fact, a fifth of the global population living with HIV are here in South Africa. And that's why it's always wonderful to hear about revolutionary new developments in the medical field in the prevention and treatment of this virus. You've probably heard by now of PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a drug taken by people who are HIV negative so that if they are unknowingly exposed to HIV, the drug will prevent the virus from infecting them. It's taken orally and needs to be taken regularly to be effective. Well, recently, two large clinical trials, partly run in South Africa, showed that a two-monthly long-acting injectable antiretroviral was even more effective at preventing HIV. And this injection is part of these new developments that'll see a new approach in the way we deal with HIV. So I'm delighted to welcome now to explain more about this to us, Lisa Jamieson, Senior Researcher at WITS. Lisa, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, and hi to the listeners as well.
Lisa, tell us more about the HERO and the work that your department is doing.
Thanks. So HERO stands for the Health Economics and Epidemiology Research Office. We're part of the WITS Health Consortium at the University of Witwatersrand, as you mentioned. And we conduct mainly HIV and TB research, where we focus on policy-relevant research applicable to public health in South Africa.
And you've just recently conducted this study about this new injectable antiretroviral.
Yeah, that is correct. And our main focus was to look at what would be the most optimal price at which this should come into the South African market.
Can you tell us some of the main differences between the new injectable drug and the oral one that's been administered thus far?
Right, so there are several differences. Currently, as you mentioned, we do have oral PrEP in South Africa. The version that we have is a combination of drugs called tenofovir and emtricitabine, and both of these have been around for quite some time now. In comparison, this injectable drug, this new drug, is a newer type of drug called cabotegravir, completely different formulation. The second biggest difference, I guess, and as the suggestion suggests, oral PrEP is a pill that we take daily, and it's taken orally as well, and it needs to be taken daily for it to be effective. In comparison, the injectable drug gets injected every 2 months. As you already mentioned, we had two large clinical trials recently show that cabotegravir is much more effective at preventing HIV even than oral PrEP, even though oral PrEP itself is very highly effective. And the main reason why this injectable drug is so much more effective is because it bypasses some of the adherence issues associated with taking pills every day.
Clever. So would people then have to come in once a month for an injection, or would they be sent home and inject themselves? How would it work?
Well, currently how it would play out is, you know, at least how it's been done in the trial and how we can see it being implemented going forward, is people would have to come into the clinic to get an injection, but every 2 months. So it's not a monthly injection.
Okay.
It's every 2 months, yeah.
And let's talk about the cost. I'm assuming at the moment it's prohibitively high because you said one of the factors of your study was the cost issue.
Yes, that is correct. The new drug is very expensive at the moment. I think the current US list price is sitting around $22,000 per user per year, and that is not really affordable for the South African market or any low- and middle-income country. So, you know, part of why this analysis was done, and you know, it is a new drug. It's a newer formulation. Much lower volumes of it is being manufactured globally. Mm. There aren't generic versions of it available. You know, it's a sterile liquid for injection instead of pills, so we need a whole new manufacturing line would need to be established for it. And these are all reasons which contribute to it being more expensive to oral PrEP. In contrast, oral PrEP, the drugs used in oral PrEP, is part of our first-line ART regimen. So it's already being produced at much, much larger quantities. And we also, because it's been around for much longer as well, we have generic manufacturers for it.
No, I was going to ask where these drugs are being manufactured. Is there any chance that any of them are being manufactured locally?
So, which drugs? The injectable
both.
Drugs are, yeah, okay. So the injectable drugs, I am not too sure where they are being manufactured, but there's only a single manufacturer for it at the moment. Oral PrEP drugs are, we've got generic manufacturers for it, and I think many of them are based in India at the moment.
Okay. When do you think realistically we will see a shift from oral PrEP to injectable PrEP?
This is a very, very good and difficult question to answer. Unfortunately, I do not, I'm not able to give you a timeline for this, because it does involve a lot of different parties who have to come to the table to make this happen.
Yeah.
In particular, you know, there first needs to be price negotiations. There needs to be, like I said, manufacturing lines that do need to be set up. And we're not privy to any of this, although our research has gone into the South African government to help them inform the price negotiations. It all depends on a lot of these processes that do need to take place before, you know, before there is a large scale rollout.
Other than the South African government and, of course, the drug manufacturers and health council, who else would be the parties that need to be involved in such a rollout?
So, I mean, specifically for South Africa, we've got the Affordable Medicines Unit, which is part of the National Department of Health, and they are responsible for negotiating prices for South Africa. Like as you mentioned, these are manufacturers. You know, they who originally developed this drug, they would need to sign over, and they've agreed to as part of the medicine patent pool, which I'll get to in a second. But they need to sign over the licensing to generic manufacturers that would allow them to produce it. And to note here as well that the original manufacturer, who developed this drug, solely exists to make drugs accessible to low and middle income countries. So this is part of the, you know, the role they need to play. The medicine patent pool, which I mentioned earlier, is a United Nations backed organization, and they usually come in if there's enough political and ethical pressure for them to do so. And that what their role is they broker the process between the manufacturers, so between the original and the generic manufacturers, in order to ensure there is affordable access to this drug in countries who need it, not just South Africa, but other, you know, other low and middle income countries as well. Mm. And then another player in this would also be the large donors. So, you know, your organizations who give funding to countries in order to aid the fight against HIV. But they would also need to sort of step up to the plate and put money forward to help countries who can't afford it to get access to this drug. Mm. I mean, all to say that, you know, there's a lot of things that will be happening. There's a lot of people who sort of need to play a role in getting this to South Africa and other countries in Africa and other countries with high burden of HIV who would definitely benefit from having the drug. But the only way we can ensure that we get affordable access to this drug is to, you know, is if we can guarantee a large enough market for it.
Lisa Jamieson, I'm afraid we have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Senior researcher with the Health Economics and Epidemiology Research Institute at WITS.